Our guest for today's episode of Collecting Thoughts is JR, AVP of Collections and Risk Mitigation at Connects Credit Union. John has been in the industry since 2000 and started as an inbound collection agent for a mortgage company. He's been with Connects for 7 years and is the receiver of the inaugural CMG Foundation's Leaders of Tomorrow Award from Aloya. JR, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Christina. So happy to be here with you today.
Thank you. So today I want to talk about strategies for identifying at-risk accounts. But before we get into those details, can you tell me a little bit more about how you found your way into this career?
Sure, Christina. So when I started, I was just really looking for a job. I had been a previous bank teller, then worked over at like a GameStop type-esque place called Funko Land. And I just needed a new job. I was getting older and about to graduate college. So I went and applied for a job at a mortgage company. And I was just doing inbound collection calls that people would call up to make their payments. And I found it really interesting. And what I found was that it wasn't just so much the math involved and, you know, the clerical work and the administration portion of it, but it was more of the psychology behind it. And I learned that negotiation and psychology being such a big part of collections was something that not only interested me, but it was a challenge every single day. And it wasn't a common issue amongst everybody. Everybody has their own situations that they're going for. And while you have to deal with the company's aspect in receiving the funds, at the end of the day, using different techniques to talk to different people, sometimes you have to be more firm, sometimes you have to be, you know, more polite, more empathetic, more sympathetic, but at the end, you just need to be professional.
Yeah, I've heard that echoed a lot from previous guests, that they got into collections and stayed in it because of the puzzle that it becomes of how to kind of crack the code from not only being able to collect delinquent debt, but maintaining that customer relationship when you do so, so that they don't walk away with a negative outlook on the company that you're collecting for.
Exactly.
So that kind of ties nicely into where you are now, which is a credit union. So I know credit unions typically have the reputation of, you know, it's very personal, it's local to where they are. People feel like it's better than your typical big bank, right? So with that reputation, does that impact how you and your team tackle your collection outreach?
Absolutely. So when you work for a big bank, you're looking for the shareholders and the bottom dollar holders. When you work for a credit union, what you're looking for is to protect the membership base. So if there's a bad actor out there who is took out a loan for fraud or took out or is cashing fraudulent checks, etc., at the end of the day, you need to protect the other 50,000, 60,000, 70,000 members that you have. And that one bad actor, you need to find a way to collect that money in such a way where you're protecting everybody else before worrying about them. Now, when it comes to collections, you have a more compassionate approach that allows for communication. So I actually go by the Spider-Man rule, where everybody gets one save. So I'm happy to, as long as
I've never heard that before. That's fun.
So as long as you you communicate with me, you know, if I put you on a payment plan, and you say, listen, I'm gonna pay you on Thursday, and I say, okay, everybody gets one. If Friday comes along, I'm sorry, you already got yours. But if you call me Thursday morning and you say, listen, the money will 100% be in your hands tomorrow. I got the check. I need a day for it to process. Okay, because your communication was open and honest with me, I will continue to give you the Spider-Man treatment until then. Now, Spider-Man has two different sides to him, right? So at the end of the day, if Spider-Man needs to go after the bad guy, then you signed a contract and we have to follow the rules.
Would you say that a lot of this communication takes place over the phone or even in person at the branch, or do you use a lot of electronic communication as well?
So with the electronic communication, we've had attorneys who have asked us not to communicate certain ways, especially due to some of the acts that are out there. I know a lot of banks and credit unions are opting into text messaging, but with the laws out there protecting consumers for the opt-out, that you have to actually opt into doing that. I believe the current penalty is $500 per attempt times the amount of times that it happened. So you, if you have a 50,000 membership base and you send out a max text without the opt-in clause at $500, you're looking at $25 million down the drain that you're going to be penalized. Whether you settle or not, you're going to be penalized. So a lot of our communication, because we're a community credit union, we tend to either do it over the phone or in person. We offer the ability to come into any of our branches, which we have throughout the state, and you can come and speak to us. Page one of our employee handbook discusses our open door policy. Any person within the organization can contact anybody else within the organization and speak to them about what's going on to hopefully help the member.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I know I read on all the time these different kind of TCPA rules or something's being filed because of some very like obscure accident happening when it comes to text messages or some kind of omni-channel. It's definitely difficult if you don't have the technology to help manage that and you're just kind of trying to do it manually. So that makes sense that you're trying to deal with everything in person or over the phone. Certainly less risk.
Correct. And with all the, I hate to say it, TikTok education that's out there and different ways for the little guy to win big against a place, it's just better from a risk aspect. So at the end of the day, I'm in charge of collections and risk, and everybody says, well, your job is to collect money. It's not. My job is to mitigate risk. I know for a fact that every single loan that comes to the door has a chance of somebody passing away, filing Chapter 13, a divorce. Anything can happen. You never know on the day of origination, right? So mitigating the risk, whether it's reputation risk, fiscal risk, or just a risk in something like sending out those text messages that could have multiple different risks in there, could absolutely impact not only you, but your member base and how people perceive you in the marketplace. With as many options of credit unions out there, we want to make sure that we're doing everything by the book.
Now, do you use any technology to help you automate your risk mitigation tactics, or do you more so go based on the familiarity of the data that you have with your consumers or your members?
So we use both. So for our risk mitigation, we use several different platforms. First off, the risk mitigation is multiple facets other than the collection aspect. This part has multiple facets as well. So for example, checks that get deposited. Every check that gets deposited by mobile checking, which is very popular, big technology, we didn't need to make sure that those funds get posted correctly to the account, but also that we're following the rules. Recent guidelines have said that you can't just, for example, write for deposit only on the check, right? Because picture Mr. Smith puts for deposit only and then mobile deposits it and then goes to their nearest bank and deposits there as well. Well, legally, they're going to beat us to the processing plant and we're going to be out the money. So we have to make sure that every one of those little boxes in the back is checked that say for mobile deposit only, or that it says for mobile deposit only. So there's a lot of safeguards in place. So we use technology for that. But the other part of risk mitigation that I'm in charge of is the dispute resolution. And that's very important to us. So that falls into two different facets as well. So you have actual fraud. Somebody stole my debit card and chose to use it. And then you have, on the other side of that, I purchased something from Walmart, Amazon, et cetera, and I never received it. Well, one of them is non-fraud, but they need their money back. The other one is fraud, and they also need their money back. So it's different ways of using technology in the interaction with the member. So what normally happens is one of these members will call into our call center or go into our branch, sign the paperwork, and then we have to work with Visa or whoever else we're working with in regards to it to make call the merchant, et cetera. Now, of course, there's always some bad actors who are saying something that isn't true, but for the most part, it's accurate, and we want to make sure that the money goes back into our members' hands as soon as possible.
Absolutely. And when it comes to, there's obviously a lot of discussion now about how AI can help, especially in fraud, like helping fraud detection easier, setting up triggers to alert, people in your position or on your team that this is happening. Do you have any thoughts on how AI is leveling up fraud or just any kind of risk mitigation in the industry, or do you have a different opinion on it?
I do. So we have a program that we are in the process of signing the contract on, so I don't want to speak to the name or anything. But some of these programs out there are excellent. I've reviewed them in full with our compliance officers and our executive team. And the amount of AI that they use to basically say there's a very high chance that this check is fraud before it even graces one of my staff's eyes to even look at it. Because people say criminals are stupid, right? But they're not. They're more advanced than everybody. And because they don't need the legal loopholes because they're breaking the law, they are finding tricks of the trade throughout every processing way that they can. So in an effort to prevent that, some of these programs will give you a risk scale on processing that check. Now, if that means that I have to hold the check for 7 days or 5 days in order to prevent our membership from losing $50,000, then yeah, I'm going to do that every single day of the week.
Yeah, and I mean, especially from a credit union, I can imagine these members, they're really relying on you beyond just a regular bank relationship. My brother, for example, was just scammed. He just graduated college, or he was attempted in a scam. He just graduated college, so he's looking for a job, and it was a case of like, some kind of company was like, yeah, you can be a remote data analyst, just go ahead, deposit this check. And the bank put a hold on it, and they were like, oh, well, you could just buy it with your own money. And then obviously he was like, okay, this is a scam. I'm ignoring all of you now. But I'm sure those are kind of instances that you come across. And with something like it's a lifelong credit union member's child, so they probably feel a lot of thankfulness that you're helping them with something as sensitive as them graduating from college and looking for that first job and everything.
Yeah, so the one thing that I always tell everybody is two things. One, if it's too good to be true, it's probably true. Like, it's probably not true, sorry. The saying that everybody says, there's no such thing as a free lunch. If somebody's sending you stuff, everybody stay away from TikTok, stay away from Instagram messages and all these different Facebook things that where they're offering you a job where you have to cash money and then send it over them. Because at the end of the day, you're responsible. Your membership agreement or your contract with your bank, whatever you're signing, says that you're held responsible. And there's nothing I hate more than having to call a parent to say, hey, I know your child was scammed, but they walked away with 5,000 of their own dollars. They might have given half of it to this other company, but we're still on the hook for the whole thing. So it's a terrible conversation. So we like to stop that before it happens, which is why we do a lot of partnering with financial awareness in our community to make sure that people are aware of these types of scams. Because people think that it tends to be the elderly that are the most preyed upon. But with technology the way it is today, it's actually everybody that's being preyed upon. Give you a story. I used to travel a lot just for fun. And one of my friends received an email from me, and he knows that I travel. I was working at the time. And he said, are you okay? And I said, yes. And he said, oh, he said, some guy just emailed me from your email address and said that you were stuck in London. And I had to send him a Western Union, and I sent him $1,000.
Oh my gosh.
And this is a person who I have the utmost respect for. He's an attorney. I would expect him to know better. And I'm sitting at work, not in London.
Fine.
Now, I love the fact that he's willing to pay the $1,000 for me. But I mean, that's on you at the end of the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's definitely. I mean, I was just going through my security training yesterday for the job, and these scams are very tricky. They always say stop and think about what you're gonna actually do, but we're all moving so fast, it can be easy to just fall into that trap, and it only takes once.
And I definitely recommend that everybody change their password. So a method that I use that I don't see out there that often, but I've told people to do is because it's impossible to remember all these passwords. And of course, use a password manager or something like that that can't be hacked. But if you're old school like me and you're having some difficulty with remembering it, what I recommend doing is use a song that's not your favorite song, but a song that you'll remember. So for example, if you want to use Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and you want to use that for all your bank information. So for your first financial institution, you would use Somewhere Over the Rainbow 1 exclamation point. But make sure you change like the circles to a zero, etc. And then the next financial institution on your list would be way up high with a number and
Oh,
exclamation.
okay.
So the thing is, you're not going to forget it. But on top of that, like somebody, there's no way somebody was going to guess that, right? It's so long and it would take. It comes out, I put it into one of those password managers and it says something like 3,000 years to guess. So I do recommend it. And again, you can pick any song out there, just something familiar to you.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. That's a good idea. Pivoting a little bit because you mentioned the, difficult conversations that you can have with like a parent or some kind of long-standing member. How do you emphasize to your team different kind of relationship building tactics or anything that can help soften those difficult conversations that you might have to have in the world of collections?
So I think that the reason I love my staff so much is that each one of them brings something else to the table. So while each person deals with a different segment of the delinquency, each person has a way of approaching it that I let them say what they need to say and do what they want to do, as long as it's in a firm, compassionate, professional manner. So sometimes it just could be that you have a, elderly woman who just wants to speak to a man on the phone. It happens. And sometimes you have a young person who just wants to speak to a woman. And all this is acceptable to us, and we're happy to deal with that. You can't take offense to it, is the main thing. The other thing is, at the end of the day, everybody here has an account at Connects where I work. So we're protecting our own money. This isn't like bank, I don't want to use a bank, but a bank where they're protecting the shareholders' interests at the end of the day. We're protecting our own money. So at the end of the day, you can be a little bit lenient, but are you okay with them not paying their $500 payments? Or do you want that $500 if it was your money, because it is portion of your money? So it's always firm, it's always professional, but at the end, it's always got to be compassionate. I've actually received several letters and phone calls from people that I repossessed that sent me thank you letters for repossessing. And it seems weird at first. We're like, why would that ever happen? But it's because they realize that the education that we always teach them during the phone call, because we don't want the cars back, we're not a used car lot, but the education that we're teaching them of to monitoring your finance and managing your finance can greatly impact their credit score down the road. While obviously a repossession hurts right now, not being able to pay other bills that are also important, now you have three or four charge-offs versus just the one.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Do you want to speak more about the charge-offs? Because I know you mentioned that's something that is a little unique in your strategy.
Yeah, so everybody in the industry cares a lot about delinquency. And the reason is, well, that's the number that everybody looks at. How delinquent are you? I'm blessed and lucky to work for a company that has a ton of A paper and A plus paper. Very lucky on that aspect. But especially during the pandemic, we're booking loans, but there's a bunch of moratoriums on actually collecting or repossessing. So we're in a situation where we can't really make the money and penalize, I guess you could say, anybody for not making their payment. But during that same time, there was a bunch of stipends going out to the regular public in regards to from the government. So they have extra money. So if you have a charge off at that point in time, I was calling you and saying, hey, would you like to make a payment, settle on this, and let's get this done. So we actually brought in so much income during that, because we've already accepted the loss just on the settlements, that we were able to change a little bit of the balance sheet during the pandemic to our benefit. But at the end of the day, what it also did was it helped our members clear something off of their credit that now might say settled in full or settled for less than full balance, but at least it's going to matriculate off and this isn't a worry for them as much anymore. So with the pandemic came some new changes that we can make on the way that we were looking at things.
Yeah, that's a really unique way to pivot, and I'm sure it made the customers feel really good because you're still checking off something that, no matter what, a charge off or not, it's still a stress. Like, people don't want to feel like they owe anyone anything because we all like to feel like we're good consumers at the end of the day.
Correct. And if you're looking for that new car and you have a charge off on there, then it's going to look terrible. But if they say, can you send me a letter in regards to the fact that I paid the charge off because I want to go look at a new car? Yeah, I have no problem. As long as it clears, you paid certified funds, I'm going to send you that letter and I'll be happy to take that phone call from whatever, car dealership that you have that might have a question. And we took those phone calls happily for our members.
That's great. JR, this has been a really great conversation. Thank you so much for chatting with me today. Is there anything else you'd like to touch on before we sign off?
I would just like to say, in general, definitely anybody who's listening, check out your credit unions as a whole. We do care about the members as a whole. If you ever see the old movie, It's a Wonderful Life, where it says, your house is in your house and your house is in your house. It's so true back then and it's so true today. At the end of the day, we're trying to protect your money because we're banking with ourselves. That's why we do it. But Christina, it's been absolutely wonderful talking to you and I appreciate your time today.
All right, thank you. Have a great rest of your day.
You too.